So welcome everyone to our workshop, a panel of speakers on how to start and grow a COSA meeting. We have, there are four of us on the panel who are going to be speaking, myself, I'm Carrie, and then we have Amy, MJ, and we have Emily, and we have Stephanie. All four of us have been involved in the start of at least one meeting, if not more, and we're going to be sharing our experience, strength, and hope, and then opening it up to questions. And when we do get to the question portion, I'll play tag. I'm going to bring the recorder to you to ask your questions so we make sure that whoever's listening to this in the future is going to be able to hear your questions clearly. That way you don't have to repeat the questions either. So we are now live, and the first question that we're going to respond to is each of our experience, strength, and hope with how we have, just to give you some context of meetings that we've started, how we did it, things that are just on the top of our head, our own experience, strength, and hope. And part of what I'm hoping you'll get from this is there's a real diversity of how meetings get started, where they're held, and how to grow the meeting based on where you are. So there is no one right solution. I will put a plug in that COSA has a wonderful manual, a guide on how to start a meeting that's free and available on the COSA website, which is cosa-recovery.org. And it's one of the free documents that you can get and download. It's long, so you may not want to download it, but I really encourage anybody who's thinking about either starting a meeting or dealing with problems that you might be feeling your meeting has in terms of its sobriety or its ability to continue to grow and meet the needs of COSAs who are in need. So that's my big plug for one resource that we definitely have. So George is going to be our timekeeper. We'll each speak for 3 minutes on this question, then we'll move on to the next question. And I'll begin. So I'm Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
This starting meetings is one of my passions because without meetings, we have no recovery. And one of the things that became clear long before I got to my 12th step the first time, when I was on my first step, I started a meeting with two other people. It was scary, very scary. We had no idea what we were doing. None of us had worked the steps before, but we were really clear that the one meeting that was available in our area at the time was not enough to support us through the week. This is before there were telemeetings, and there was the online message board, but it was difficult to use. So the first thing I guess I want to say is that the meetings that I've been involved in starting, you don't have to have finished all 12 steps to do it. You just have to have the willingness to start a meeting, and usually a great motivator for the willingness is to get your own need met. So I've been involved in starting a couple of face-to-face meetings, and the thing that worked the best for me with each one was I didn't start them alone. So in each of the cases of meetings I was involved in, there were at least two of us who were committed to going to meetings for 6 months or so, because you never know who's going to show up or how many people are going to show up, but at least you're not there alone. I have tried to support meetings where people have started them with one person, and it's very, very difficult because especially if you're in early recovery, you're already feeling isolated and alone, and so it's pretty hard to sit in a room waiting for COSAs to show up and you don't have recovery yourself yet. But I'm going to let these guys talk more specifically about the face-to-face meetings because I want to talk about the telemeetings. A sponsee and I started the first telemeeting years ago, and the telemeetings have grown since. Not our brilliant idea, we were simply mimicking what other fellowships had begun to do. So we robbed their, you know, another fellowship's script. They gave us permission, I mean, and we basically tweaked it for COSA, and we were off and running, very scared about being on that call by ourselves. And you know, for anybody who's been on the telemeetings in this room, they have grown significantly, and the telemeetings are probably the easiest meeting to begin because all you need to do is get a telephone line and a conference call line, free conference call line, and register with the ISO of COSA so it gets listed on the telemeeting list of meetings. And it, that's the easiest thing for newcomers actually to see, because if they go to the website, no matter where they are geographically, you draw people from all around the world. So that's the context for me of my experience, strength, and hope with starting meetings.
Okay, so I guess I'm next. Hi, I'm Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Amy.
And I started the Santa Clara, California COSA meeting. I actually had the benefit of, there were several other meetings that had started up and died off in our area, and I knew a few people through that. I was able to have a little pool to start with, which was helpful. I picked the meeting location and the meeting time based on sort of what was convenient for the other people that I was in touch with, and a lot what was convenient for me. So it's kind of less than 2 miles from my house and at a time of day and a day of the week that works for me. And that was important because I knew that I was making a commitment to that meeting, that I was going to go there and sit there by myself, if necessary, every week for at least a year or until the meeting was sober and sustainable, which it has been. It's grown. And so there's that. I feel like I've been rehearsing this with people over the course of the weekend. I feel like, have I told these stories before? where am I going with this? So I had that little seed group. I had the willingness to start the meeting. And the other thing was, for me, at that point, I had been in COSA for about 3 years and in recovery longer than that. I had been worked the steps in another sort of program and been part of another fellowship. But when I really felt like I needed a COSA meeting at the beginning of the time that I started going to COSA meetings, there weren't any COSA meetings in my area. And I didn't feel ready to start one. And fortunately, somebody else started one up. But it was after that three-year period where meetings were starting up and dying off in my area, and I didn't feel ready to start one. By the time that the last meeting kind of died off, I said, I need a meeting, and now I feel ready. I had some experience in COSA. I felt ready to take on starting the meeting, and I had the willingness to sit there and make the commitment to the meeting that I knew it was going to take to get it up and running. And I had other people that were supporting me, so that was great too. So I think that's what I've got around that. Thank you.
Thanks, Amy.
Hi, I'm Emily. I'm codependent.
Hi, Emily.
Hi, Emily.
Well, I started a meeting in Berkeley a couple years ago, I think. And I started it because I just had separated from my husband, and I was really lonely on Sundays. And so the meeting was on Sunday at 4. I originally wanted to start it closer to my house than it was. But a spot came open, another COSA ran a meeting space for something else and offered it to me. And so we were able to get a space that was actually really central to transportation. I don't think there had been any meetings in the city of Berkeley, if ever, not for a while. So I think somehow like the Berkeley stamp kind of drew in new people that weren't coming to a meeting that was next door in Oakland. I'm trying to think of what else to say.
How about the type of meeting?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. So it's a meditation meeting. We meditate for 15 minutes at the start of the meeting after we do all the regular readings. And then we have shares. I hadn't originally planned on doing that, but it just sort of occurred to me the space that we were in originally was a meditation space, so it just kind of made sense. And that was good. It grew slowly and then quickly. And every month we would sort of adapt it to, with the newcomer in mind, changing the script this way and that, to make sure that newcomers felt they were welcome. A lot of times in the first months, it was just me and one other person, or me and two other people. It drew newcomers, like, because other people who already went to Coastal Meetings in other nearby locations had their meetings, and so they didn't necessarily run and jump to my meeting. And so I was surprised by that. But I think that's really normal too, because all of a sudden there's a new meeting. People are telling themselves, I can't possibly go to a meeting that's 5 miles away, but here's a meeting that's 1 mile away, so I could maybe come to this one. So I think that's part of what happened. And slowly we had more people come, and I was the secretary for the first two terms, I think about 6 months. And then I'll just wrap up and say, I just announced one day when no one was volunteering, I can't be the secretary of this meeting anymore. And magically, someone volunteered.
Thanks, Emily.
Hi there, I'm Stephanie, recovering COSA.
Hi, Stephanie.
I really feel in my part, Higher Power started the two meetings that I helped facilitate. And there's a couple of different scenarios. And the first one, after I started going to COSA, to the only COSA meeting in Orange County on a Wednesday evening, was restricted to women only. And in the moment, that was okay for me because I'm a woman. But as I began working the steps and doing my recovery, and then attending the International Convention in Albuquerque in 2009, I go, whoa, there's other people that qualify to be in COSA other than partners of sex addicts. So, and I knew that, but I really felt Higher Power tugging at me. And I felt the need to have more than one meeting in Orange County. So, and the first thing I did was just put out in the universe, anyone interested in helping start a meeting? We looked at the opposite. In the meantime, another meeting had started on Monday. And then I was looking at Friday. And then lo and behold, somebody in our membership said, oh, I'm doing my curriculum with this counseling center, and they'd be more than happy to offer meeting space to us. And I said, wonderful. So we did the same thing, try to anchor 2 to 3 people that could commit for a number of months for that particular time. And that meeting on Friday nights at 7 p.m. and has evolved now into a step study meeting. Carrie and the outreach committee has evolved the meeting scripts, and I recommend you checking in with either one of us and getting those. In addition to the guide to start a meetings script, which are basically very basic. Let's see. Did I cover everything on that? Oh, in starting the meeting, it had to be, our traditions state that anyone that has been affected by compulsive sexual behavior. So it was open to all genders. And that was new for Orange County. I mean, that meeting was the only one for at least a dozen years, maybe, until the Long Beach meeting opened up on Monday, and that was open to all. And then the Orange meeting, which was the one that I helped facilitate, start. And the next one. Oh my gosh, I forgot about that one. prior to the convention in LA, we did an outreach visit to a treatment center in Orange County, and the primary purpose was, of course, to let them know that COSA exists to your patients. And I'll wrap it by stating that they were the ones that invited us to have meetings. They said, we do it with other fellowships, we'd like you to figure it out, or we have the space available. And that happens to be now our Thursday noon meeting for 1 hour. It works out a lot for a lot of the working folks. Of course, it's open to all genders. And that was another higher power start of the meeting that just grew out of the need and the voice of more meetings in our area.
Thanks, Stephanie. So before we move on to the next question, the other thing I just want to highlight is, as our fellowship is growing, another way of supporting the growth of meetings is to mentor meetings that are starting up. So what Stephanie is referring to with one of the meetings down there, and then another meeting that she didn't start, but she is helping to support the start of another meeting in Southern California. I've been mentoring from afar. So you don't even need to be in the place to share your experience, strength, and hope about how to start a meeting, or just sometimes the person just needs somebody to talk to so you don't feel so isolated. So I'll just put that out there. And I know also one of the things that that the Santa Clara meeting did a wonderful job of was reaching out to our intergroup. And in a way, the intergroup or members of different meetings also began to sort of sponsor or support that meeting. And this is something that is not rocket science, but we can all do. Even if you've never started a meeting, you can share about the experience of being in a meeting and what works for you. So the second question is, we'll each spend 3 minutes talking about our experience, strength, and hope on how we attracted people to our meeting and grew our meetings. So, hi, I'm Carrie again.
Hi, Carrie.
And I'll speak first about the telemeetings. So the way that it wouldn't necessarily happen this way now, because now that the telemeetings are sort of an institution in the fellowship, people who are told about it if you ask for where a meeting is, particularly if you don't have a meeting nearby you. But if you're starting a new telemeeting, the best way to spread the word and attract more people to the telemeeting is obviously to let people know who are currently on the telemeetings. And that is done through the telemeeting intergroup. So there is an intergroup for the telemeetings now, and I'll just put a plug in for how important intergroups are to the support of growing the local meetings. It's an incredibly helpful tool that if you're in a region that doesn't have an intergroup, it's just that is another way that you can begin to spread the word in a very economical way. So the telemeeting intergroup supports new calls that get set up by announcing at their meetings, and of course it gets listed at the COSA website. And in the outreach group, one of the things that we do in any outreach we're doing is we'll often have in the area where we're going a list of the local meetings, and then we list all of the telemeetings and the online meetings that are available and give them to people who are supporting, you know, are providing support for people who qualify for our meetings. So there's, a host of ways to support the growth. The other thing too is simply speaking up about it, like at a retreat or at the conference, our annual conference. One of the things we did in the early days with the telemeetings was the telemeeting intergroup organized making sure that people going home after the convention could, part of their reentry activity could be to call into a COSA meeting. In fact, one year we set up a special telemeeting just to support people going home following the convention so that you could plug in and connect with other COSAs to help you land softly when you got home. So there are a number of ways that we grew the telemeetings, and now it's a much easier effort. The face-to-face meetings that I've been involved in, there are a number of different ways. I think these guys will probably cover some of them, but one of the more recent things that we've been doing is utilizing what Outreach has created, which are these little cards which fit in a wallet or in a purse very easily. It basically has the basic information about COSA, and it has our Bay Area Intergroup email address on it, so that we encourage people at the meetings, I'll wrap up, to take one to their therapist, take one to the social worker they might work with, take one to a cafe where they go. It doesn't really matter where you go with it. It's information that is helping to create awareness that COSA exists, and you can do it as anonymously as you would like. But, you know, there's no end. I mean, we can't really measure at this point how many people might be coming in the door, but I know of at least one person who came in the door as a result of getting one of these cards. So if we can reach even just one person, and this is very simple, easy to do.